Throughout the course of this year, pastors have been declaring that there's a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and have been declaring 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We are living in the time of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and this year we heard things like, you know, it's a time of increase. God is a consuming fire. The word intimacy, the word relationship, the word connection, the word to talk, to converse, to hear God's voice. I mean, I'm just throwing out all those things. All those things we've heard throughout the course of this year. Because the Holy Spirit is being poured out in our hearts to love Him. And there's a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of the fathers to the hearts of the children, and to the hearts of the children to the hearts of the fathers. And so right now, our hearts are being turned to Father God. Amen? How many believe in that? That God desires us to turn to Him more and more. And God, by His grace, is teaching us little by little, bit by bit, step by step, what it means to look up to Him and to love Him. And you know, I don't know if I should say this, but you know, I've in the course of this week, I've had to do a bit of a study due to the course that I'm doing at the moment on worship, and I'm supposed to write about worship. And the more I looked into it, the more I studied it, the more I looked at the various words used for praise, worship, and serving God, and I felt like, I don't know, maybe I don't know anything about worship. I feel like the more I was digging into it, the more I felt like I didn't know anything. But we're not trying to complicate our lives here this morning, okay? We're not here to tell you all of that, but I just felt a sense of like there's a drawing to know Him. I don't know how my message is going to come about this morning, but perhaps it's going to come out as a form of we're going to activate a few things here this morning and make declaration, because I just feel that this is what that there's a God is just pouring out a measure of intimacy with Him. But let me begin by first reading Isaiah 59. Now I want to say this, and hopefully this will set the tone for the rest of the message, is that we're going to have intimacy with God by the Word and by the Holy Spirit. How many of you, I'm sure we all know this scripture in John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, we have a call to worship. You know that verse? It's not on the screen. Just maybe if you can remember it. In John chapter 4, it says, "For the Father is looking for such who will worship Him in," come on, you help me, "in spirit and in truth," right? And I'm not here to expound that verse. I'm not here to try to teach that verse either. We've heard many teachings over the years. We've heard many things. I think we have a sense of what it means. But the more I'm realizing is if I'm going to learn to worship God, it's going to be impossible to do it without the Holy Spirit and without the Word of God, which is truth. We want to worship God. We want to have intimacy with God. But God has a way by which we are to approach Him. Our worship is not, I feel like I should worship Him that way. It's not how I feel. There is a proper way to approach God. And this is where the whole pattern in scriptures is set forth. And we see that in the tabernacle of Moses, the tabernacle of David, and we see it in the temple of Solomon. But I'm trying to say here is we don't worship God because we just enjoy something or because we just feel satisfied. Is there is a way to approach God, and that is only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But I want to say this. This is the main thought I want to say this morning. If I desire intimacy with God by His Word, but not just by the Word and the Holy Spirit. And the two go hand in hand. We cannot separate the two. Amen? Sometimes we are good at studying the Bible. We know how to look up concordance. We know how to check out words, and we look at the root words, the Hebrew word, the Greek words, and we have all kinds of tools and resources that can help us. But I think more beyond that, deeper than that, we need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit to open my eyes to see. Now, let me ask you something, a question. When you read an article, you read the Bible, or you read anything, if you don't understand what you're reading, is there any interest to you? Do you feel excited about it? You're allowed to speak, by the way. All right? You know what I'm saying? If anything you read, not just the Bible, anything you watch something on television, or you watch a documentary, if you have no idea whatsoever what the person is talking about, or what the thing is all about, you want to keep reading? You want to keep watching? Do you get more excited? No, I don't. It probably turns me off. I mean, how many times do we open the scriptures and we're like, we have no idea what it's talking about? Now we're going to the book of Ezekiel, 40 odd chapters, I think 48, isn't it? Anyway, and then you're like, Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles. I mean, what are all these? Okay, we're not going to talk about this, but I'm just trying to throw a seed thought. If I don't get what I'm reading, I find no interest. And so if I am to have a relationship with God through the Word and the Spirit, I'm going to have to kind of read the Bible one night. But if the Bible doesn't make sense to me, it kind of turns me off. That's the reason why, and we've heard this over and over again, unless the Holy Spirit opens it up and gives me understanding, it will look and feel dry. So because I read the Bible and because I do all these the right Christian things, if not for the Holy Spirit, it doesn't work. But here's the thought that I want to press on this morning. I want to worship God. I want to approach God. I want to grow in intimacy with God. I want to be one with Him through His Word and His Holy Spirit. If there's anything you remember for the rest of this time right now, this is probably the thought that I want to stay with us. Isaiah 59 verse 11. Sorry, 21. Isaiah 59 verse 21. It says here, it's the last verse of that chapter. It says, As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them, my spirit who is upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time forevermore. So two things, the words in bold. My spirit is going to be upon you, and my words which I have put in your mouth. It's not just our spirit. It's not just the word. It's the spirit and the word. That's my prayer. I'm going to ask God, help me, Lord. I don't want to just read the Bible, read the word. I need you, Holy Spirit, to open my eyes. And when the Holy Spirit begins to open our eyes, something will happen from within. And change will begin to take place. Too many times I think we read the Bible without really asking, Holy Spirit, enlighten me, open my eyes to see, give me a revelation of who Jesus is, and we can miss it. The Pharisees who knew the Bible, who knew the Torah, who instructed people about the word, and yet they missed the Messiah, and they're still waiting for the Messiah. You know, I was listening to hopefully I won't bore you with this, but I was listening to this Jewish rabbi. This Jewish rabbi, not Christian, this is Judaism, all right? And he was just talking about, you know, the way of life and Adam and Eve. And he was talking about all these, I mean, it's the Bible after all. I mean, he was making some sense in what he was saying. And he was talking about all of this. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, all right? Right, we have the whole same Old Testament, so the principles are the same. Does that make sense? But he spoke out certain things, and it sounded really amazing. I was like, wow, this guy's really good, you know. But then he ended up saying some stuff that blew my mind off, and I was like, oh, that's weird. But that's not my point. My point is this. Listen to this. He was trying to explain something, and he was telling his people, isn't that interesting? I thought it was super interesting. Then he said, and then this is what he said. And you know, when they talk, I mean, like anyone would try to teach, they will always sound very, very eloquent, and he could really speak, charisma, I mean, like amazing, like impressive, and the materials well prepared, and you're like, wow, wow, wow. But the thing is, he said this, and that when the moment he said this, this thought just went boom into my spirit. And this is what he said. If this is not spiritual enough for you, how about this? Did you get that? You get what I'm saying? He was sharing all these amazing spiritual kind of insights into that. And he said, if this is not spiritual enough for you, how about this? And something went right zip into my heart. I was like, wow. It really blew me off. Why? You're probably wondering why. Because sometimes we like the inside, the spiritual. We like to sound spiritual, yet we miss the whole thing. See, he's not promoting Jesus at all. But he talks of the scriptures as if he's like expert, which I suppose he would be in his profession. He's a rabbi, I guess. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say this morning. He expounded the Genesis like, wow, the same as like, I don't know. But the thing is this, we can have the word, but without the Holy Spirit. That was what what I wanted to sort of bring forth this morning. So I don't think I'm going to say anything new this morning, but I sense in my spirit God's going to do something. I want to read from the book of Nehemiah chapter 8. Okay, we're crying about intimacy with God through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God. There are seven things. I think I'm just going to we're just going to take the points and declare them as four things that I feel like perhaps it's, I sense that this is what God wants to do with us prophetically. Before I continue, what month are we in? September. In the Jewish calendar, on the 29th of September, it's going to be their Jewish New Year. You're following with me so far? 29th of September. The 29th of September, although it's the Jewish New Year, it begins a feast, a biblical feast, which the Jews still keep. And it's called the Feast of Tabernacles. And it flows over into the month of October. Are you here with me so far? So it's the, in their Jewish calendar, they would refer this as to the seventh month of the year. Everybody say 7 months. And that 7 month is the Feast of Tabernacles. So you're wondering what's the Feast of Tabernacles. But if, just for the sake of this morning, it points to the second coming of Jesus and He coming to dwell with us. Okay? But here, I want you to pick this out because as we are entering into this season, as we are approaching this, even though it's a natural, even though it's a feast right now in terms of the calendar, I want you to see something significant that I think is prophetic. So Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the water gate, and they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law, Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. When is that? Say it again with me. When was that? The first day of the seventh month. Come on, one more time. It was on the first day of the seventh month. Ding, ding, ding. What is that talking about? What season was that? You getting me? Verse 3. Then he read from it in the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning until midday. From when? So I'm going to keep you here until midday. No, I'm kidding. All right, before the men and women and those who could understand and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They were what? They were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood, verse 4, on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose, and beside him, at his right hand stood Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, okay, and all the names, all right? I'm going to skip that, all right? If that's okay with you. Unless you want to hear myself, get myself embarrass myself. Okay, verse 5. And Ezra, everybody say, and Ezra. Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Is there a response here to the word of God? Or did they just sit, do nothing? Was there honor in what they're doing? I mean, this is the word of God. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. He blessed him. Then all the people answered. What did they answer? And amen. They didn't stay quiet. They weren't shy. While lifting up their what? Their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Now, you must understand that the word worship in the Bible is this sense of prostrating, bowing before the Lord. You'll see it throughout the scriptures. Verse 7, also Jeshua, Bani, or Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shebatai, and all those people. What is it going to be? In verse 7, they helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So there was a ministry here of people being helped to understand the word of God. Verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Now, I'll go back here to what I was saying earlier. Don't we need to understand what we read? Do you get what I'm trying to get to this morning? If I don't understand what I'm reading, it's kind of pointless. See that? He's trying to make sense and help them understand the reading. Give them sense, even otherwise it's nonsense to me or to the reader. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra, the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. I'm going to jump now at verse 13. Now on the second day of the heads of the fathers, houses of all the people, with the priests and Levites, they gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law which the Lord commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So how did they know that they're supposed to celebrate this feast? They found it where? In the book of the law. Okay, I hope you're following me this morning. I hope it's not too deep. All right, we're just following the scriptures here. It just says here, because they read the book of the law, as Moses commanded them, they realized they had to keep this feast. Okay, let's stop here. Let's stop reading the book of Nehemiah. I think that's enough. I think prophetically in the spirit, even though it's the 29th is just what the Jews celebrate, but I think in the spirit there's something that's going to happen to this church, and we're going to make declaration and activation this morning. I need to understand. I need to know. I need to understand. Otherwise, I don't know what I worship. Some say the place of worship is in Jerusalem. Some say it's on this mountain. Where is it? If I don't understand, I don't know. Am I supposed to worship on a mountain? Am I supposed to go to Jerusalem and find the temple which is not there anymore and worship? You worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, the true and the living God. But I need to understand. I need to know. And I cannot worship God unless I keep knowing Him. And as the more I know Him, the more worship becomes spontaneous. How many of us have declared the name of Jesus? Do we know the name of Jesus? Have we heard that name, Jesus? It would be a bit concerning if you're sitting here as a believer and it's like, Jesus? Well, really? Well, yeah, never heard that before. The name Jesus, the name the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what does it mean to me? What does it mean to you? We'll get to that in a sec. Okay, we're going to activate. Okay, we're going to try and keep it concise as possible. But I want to emphasize four things this morning. The first one, we found Ezra brought the book of the Lord. What does it say? It says, I worship towards your holy temple. Okay, so that's That's Psalms 138. We're going to read that. But I want you to see this. Ezra brought the book of the law. Yeah, leave it on the chat. Yeah, like this. That's good. Thank you. Ezra brought the book of the law. Now, if you remember what we just read, as they read the book of the law, what was the next thing that they were doing? They were worshiping. Are you with me? We just read it together, right? Well, I read it to you, right? It says they were saying amen and amen. And they bowed down in worship before the Lord. So I want you to see this. The Word and the Holy Spirit will lead us to true worship. But my emphasis is this. I want to draw near to God. How many want to grow in intimacy? I want to grow in intimacy. I want to draw close to God. But I can't do it my way. I have to have the Holy Spirit and the Word. But here we find this. In Psalms 138, verse 2, it says this. I worship toward your holy temple and praise your name. For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. I want to sort of emphasize two words here. The name and the word. Why is that? Because the word of God tells us about the name. Are you following me this morning? We need to have the word. You have the name, but if I don't know what the name means, how do I know what that name means? I have to find it in the Word. But I can search the Scriptures. I still don't know what that name is. In fact, in Proverbs, it says, what is his son's name? Jacob, he was wrestling with the angel of God. He says, what is your name? Who are you? They want to know who his name is. How do we find out? God gives us a revelation. We know that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I'm trying to say here is the Word gives me and tells me who Jesus is. What that name is, what that name means. So I need that word. I need that word to be revealed and opened by the Holy Spirit. The next point, number two. When was this that Ezra opened the book? And it's very significant. On the first day of the seventh month. And like I said to you, on the 29th, right, the Jews celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. But it's not about that. It's about what God is doing in the Spirit. This is why I want to draw the attention. So as we draw nearer to the second coming, what's going to happen? There's going to be a generation upon whom the Word of God is going to be opened to them. I believe we're going to be that generation. We're going to activate that the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, because He's putting His Holy Spirit upon us and His Word in our mouth, in the mouth of our descendants, until the Lord Jesus returns. Can I get an amen? So it's very significant. Number three, those who could understand and the ears were attentive. Are we sane enough to understand? Like, okay, are we like normal human beings that have some level of intelligence? Yeah, just one. Thank you. Two, great. And ears that are attentive. Can we have ears? Is it possible for us to have ears that are attentive? Do you think that this verse could be speaking and giving us a call to all of us, and not just these people in the Bible? If I have understanding, do you think this call is for me? Yeah. I think I'm not going to go into this because if I do, it's going to take too long. Okay? But I'm going to just say this though. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, there's a prayer, the Shema prayer, as the Jews will call it. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord God is one. Right? The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Hear, listen, pay attention. I wish I could spend more time on this point, but I think this is not the point of this morning. But the word listen is not just listening, all right? It's listening and action, all right, for another time. Four, point four, let me move on to this one here. And Ezra opened the book. Everybody say, Ezra opened. He opened the book. Amen. When did we see this happen? When Jesus died and he was, two disciples were on the road on Emmaus and they were talking about it and they were like, what's going to happen? They don't know. And Jesus now is dead and so on and so forth. And Jesus appeared to them. But when he appeared to them, they did not recognize him, for their eyes were closed. And so he asked them the question, so what are you all talking about? Oh yeah, this Jesus of Nazareth, didn't you hear about him? Then he said, hey, how come you don't understand? And so he began to tell them from scriptures, from the writing, the laws and the prophets, and begin to expound the Messiah. I'm going to pick up from verse 28 and read from there. So are you okay with the story right now? So there are two disciples here with Jesus, and Jesus is with them. And they didn't know it was Jesus. They still don't get it yet. But until what happens? Verse 28. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And what happened? All this time, Jesus was talking to them. He was with them, expounding the scriptures. They didn't know. But when he gave them communion, intimacy, right? Think of this word here. Their eyes were what? Opened, and they knew him, and they vanished. And then what? He vanished from their sight. Look what happens when their eyes are open. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how that he was known to them in the breaking of bread. I want to say this. Our eyes must be open. The scriptures must be open. Jesus needs to open his word to us. That's the only way I'm going to have intimacy with him. When Jesus was opening the scripture, when their eyes, he says, did not our hearts burn within us? You know, if I don't have a heart to know who God is, by the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, now I can be singing song here. I can be singing so many good worship songs. But without that personal word, knowing who the word is, when I know more and more and I'm amazed, I'm like, wow, God is worthy. Do you think so? That's why there's a call for each and every one of us to know who Jesus is, and we're never going to stop, because eternal life is to know him whom he sent, Jesus Christ. I can't stop. So in essence, what I'm saying, I cannot have intimacy with God by just singing songs alone. But singing songs, corporate worship, or everything else that we do becomes so significant because the Holy Spirit is opening my eyes to see. And I'm not saying I see it all, I know it all. In fact, like I said, the more I look into worship, I feel like I know nothing about worship. I feel like, Lord, what is worship? What is right in your sight? Because it's eating me up from the inside. I'm like, have I been doing the right thing? I mean, has my heart been at the right place? Have I been full? I mean, what is it that you want? It's eating me up. Let me conclude with this verse, Songs of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. And Dino in the past have done a great job expounding this verse to us, as he was teaching on the book of Song of Solomon, on the chapter, on giving us an overview of the Song of Solomon. And there's this verse here, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. The word kiss there is the idea of two things coming together. Or even the idea of putting like an equipment on you and fastening it onto you. It's two things coming together. So hence you get the idea of kissing, intimacy, coming together. The mouth is not just a literal mouth, but that same word is also used as when the word of God comes to his people in some cases. Of course, there's another word for when the word of the Lord came, dabar. But there are times where this word, mouth, is actually used for the word of God, speaking to his people. So I want to say this here. Kiss me, which is, speaks of intimacy with the kisses of the mouth, which is where the word of God comes forth, his word. I want intimacy with your word, but I can't have intimacy with your word if the Holy Spirit is not opening the word. So I believe that, so many more things I would have wanted to say out from Nehemiah chapter 8, but we stopped halfway through, right? A little bit like Luke, like Jesus, beginning to close the book of Isaiah 61 halfway through. So we're going to close it here. But I want to activate this, and I want to... We want to declare this, that the word of the Lord is coming to evangel in a new way. And God is equipping us by the Holy Spirit. Get connected. I think it's a very important word I would say. Get connected. If I am not connected, you know, I don't receive. I do not receive. You know, and here, like I said, I want to say so many more things, but you could see how there were people who were helping the people to understand the law because they couldn't understand it. I'm not saying that you can't read your Bible yourself, but there is something God is doing so that we will know. Get connected. Get connected to the house of God. Have a heart. I mean, unless the Holy Spirit moves my heart to have a desire to know Him, I mean, that should be the one desire, the most desirable things in our heart. And some of us are thinking of sitting down there, but I'm not there. I mean, I love God, but I'm not a reader. I hated reading. Please look at me. I hate reading. I hated reading. I could tell you on the tip of my fingers how many books I have read until I reached uni. Or maybe I read a bit more than that. I don't know. But because when I was a kid, my parents made me read because I had to, because they made me borrow books, you know, every month or 2 months or something like that, you know. But from that time, after that, I can literally count the number of books I read. I'm not joking. So we're going to activate this morning, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to do something here. I want the Word and the Holy Spirit. It's not about getting a new message this morning. It's not my intention here. There are better preachers that do a better job than what I'm doing right now. But I just want to activate this dimension here this morning, that we're going to grow in this season where the Holy Spirit is pouring out His Spirit upon us, the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that we would love Jesus, so that our hearts will turn towards Him, so that our eyes will be open, so that the Scriptures will be open, so that our hearts will begin to burn from within and say, wow, Almighty God. I mean, I don't know. You know, I felt like from yesterday, you know, we were just sitting down, just soaking in the presence. We weren't even singing. We just had a tape on, music playing. And you know, as I shared a little bit earlier, it was like I could feel like weight. And even this morning, you could kind of feel there's a weight that's kind of pulling you down. It's like, wow, this awesomeness of who God is. It just makes me want to worship more. Something that way beyond, more than I've had in the past. I can tell you I've experienced the presence in worship before, but I'm telling you there's been something different for me personally from yesterday. This morning, even for this morning, I'm like, God, God. There is grace this morning, for the Holy Spirit is going to move upon our lives. So we activate this in the mighty name of Jesus, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit, you who raised Jesus from the dead, the power of resurrection life, the Spirit of holiness, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that you're sending forth your word. And I thank you, Lord, right now that you are opening your word Just as Ezra opened the word, the Spirit of the Lord is beginning to open the word. Jesus is opening his word. Our eyes are being opened. The eyes of our understanding is being enlightened to behold who he is. The great almighty God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The word of God is revealing our Savior, our King, our righteousness. Hallelujah. Our Savior. Oh, our victor, our banner, our righteousness, the God of justice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Begin to open our eyes even right now, Lord. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Let your breath bring life. Breathe life this morning. If I can have the musicians, please. My cry, I want to know you, Lord. I want to be conscious of you. I want to be captivated by your word. If I say this morning, I want intimacy with God without the word of God, we're kind of fooling ourselves. Let's be real. But yet at the same time, if you say, but I've been reading my Bible without the dimension of the Holy Spirit, we have missed it again. I need the Word and the Spirit. Jesus would not be, I mean, the birth of Jesus, I mean, the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. As the word of God was given to Mary, she said, amen. She said, I mean, she didn't say amen, but she said, let it be done unto me according to your word, which is like saying amen. She said, yes, let it be done. Let it be done. I'm praying that this is the way we would respond, not to me, not to the message, but to the living God. Say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I need to open my eyes. A few weeks ago, we talked about, Lord, it's high and lifted up. I need to see you. I need to understand the power that is in the cross. I mean, I determined to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. Then how am I going to do that? I determined to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. Who is Christ? The book of Acts is that we were told that they went about preaching the word by the Holy Spirit. Who is Christ? I need the word. I need the word. Holy Spirit, help us to know the Word in a real way, in an intimate way, in a way that will work in my life and change my life, Lord. There's no power to change our lives except for the power of the Holy Spirit operating and the Word of God operating in us. I can put in the seed, I can put in the seed, I can read and read and read and never water the seed. Do you expect growth? Just throw the seed in there on dry ground. No, I don't want dry ground, Lord. I don't want a thorny places, Lord. I don't want a stony, rocky ground. Lord, let my heart be fertile. Let me read the word, but let the word come into me. But Lord, I need the water of the Holy Spirit. I need this, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just be in this posture of worship right now, of humility before the Lord, and say, Lord, this is what I need. Our people who are here, we have needs. We all have different kinds of needs. But as it has already been declared, the enemies have been, Herod is dead. Today's a new day. Something's going to break forth in my spirit this morning. The word of God is going to become alive in Jesus' name. Resurrection life is going to be filling my veins and every fiber of my being from today onwards. Religion is dead. I declare this morning, religion is dead. every hindrances over right now over our lives, you are broken in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some of us here that may not find a hunger and thirst for the word of God, but today, just receive that today. Today is the day of salvation. Today, God is going to act and begin to move right now. I need to believe it. Not the word of the preacher, but I need to believe that God wants me to have this. And my heart must begin to leap right now. So respond this morning, I pray. All of us, I need to respond to this. Oh, almighty God. To know you. To know you. That's the cry of my heart. Hallelujah.
To know you,
that's the cry. Reveal Jesus to me. Sing it again. Come on, let this be the real cry of our hearts.
To know you.
To be captivated by his word.
Thank you.
let's ask the Holy Spirit to make it so real to us this morning. Until that song, until that prayer becomes so real from within. Lord, I want to know. I want to know you, Lord. Help me, help me.
Je sais, it's the cry of my soul. To know you, oh, to know.
Now, let the vision of Christ come upon us. Let eyes be open. Blindness right now to come out right now in Jesus' name. Open your eyes and begin to see right now. See in Jesus' name. Let there be sight. Oh Lord. Love for the Lord right now be renewed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open the eyes. Revive us, O God. Spirit of God, move. Do only what you can do.
I want to see you, Lord. I want to see you. See high. See you high and lifted up. You are shining in the light of your glory. Come pour out your power and love as we see holy, holy, to see you, see you high and lifted up, to see you shining in the light of your glory. Come pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy.
One with that prayer this morning, I want to see you. Holy,
holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, holy, Lord, I want to see.
Let the Holy Spirit operate upon us this morning. Holy,
holy, holy.
If you have pain in the left knee this morning, We command that pain right now to leave in the name of Jesus. Pain, leave right now in the left knee. If that's you right now, in the name of Jesus, we command you to leave in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Shaba baba sokoyanda. Holy, holy. Back right now in the name of Jesus. If you've got pain in the upper back, we command that pain to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Be healed by the precious blood of Jesus right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed in Jesus' name. I want to see you, Lord. Holy. Sing holy. Let's conclude this morning. I just want, let's all stand up to our feet as we sing him one more time. Sing holy. Father, we just thank you, Lord, right now. We thank you that when your word goes forth, it does not return void. I thank you in the name of Jesus that today is going to be a new day for us. For the flow of the Holy Spirit and the dimension of your word, oh God, to be open to us. Hallelujah. The heavens are open. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. The word is being revealed. I thank you that this is going to be the power that changes our life. Oh, in the name of Jesus right now, every limitations, every hindrances, everything that's been holding us back, in the name of Jesus right now, we command you to leave this house. You have no place in this house, for this is the house of God, the gateway to heaven. We speak against every enemy right now. Every bitterness, every struggle in the name of Jesus, every struggle in the flesh right now, we command you to bow at the name of Jesus and to leave this place in the name of Jesus. We declare liberty and freedom in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We speak against the hardness of hearts right now. Right now to be filled with the water of the Holy Spirit this morning. Renew us this morning. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, God is calling us back home. God is calling some of us here this morning. Return. Come back right now in the name of Jesus. Come back in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. This is the time. Now is the time. Not tomorrow. Now. Now. Thank you, Lord. Now is the time. Now is the time. This is your time to arise. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. If you like prayer, you may come down. Pastor Joseph will be here as well. And amen. God bless you.